You know, I was sitting there thinking that that phrase we just sang, that in God's house forevermore, what if this is the last service that we have in this world? What if all of God's work and all of God's efforts to make man and redeem man is finalized tonight? What if tonight's the last night of life? And then tonight, those of us who are prepared will be in heaven, and we get to say those words to God forever. It's something to think about. It's a very encouraging thought, and one that should stay with us, even if tonight is not the last night. But if it is, there's nowhere else I'd rather be than surrounded by the people of God and praising Him and drawing closer to Him. It is good to see you, friends. Very grateful for those who were able to be out tonight. I know that it's a work night and a busy night for a lot of families, and there are those who cannot be out. But you, kid, and you're here, and I appreciate every one of you. I really do mean that, and it's so good to see you. Good to have the visitors who are with us. I know we have some visitors from the area who are here, and it means a lot to see them, and I appreciate them being here. But it's been a very, very uplifting weekend. I commend the elders again for the way they did this and giving us many opportunities together, not just here at services, but also privately. And you all have asked some really good questions, and you are concerned about the work here, and I commend you for that. The spirituality is real. And there is, obviously, anywhere there's room for improvement. I understand that. There's room for improvement in my own faith, in my own walk with God. Yet there's a lot of good things in place here. And so I encourage you. I commend you. I'm convinced that, like I told you the other day, whoever comes here is going to be following a scholar and a very good man. But he's also going to be working alongside some dedicated saints and some great elders and some very dedicated deacons and their families. And so I like a lot of good things here. And it's been a very good visit. Very thankful for all the hospitality, all the meals, and all the visits. Been very, very good. That wasn't heartburn. I'm actually still a little hoarse from this weekend. And I do thank you for the good response to the lessons. Wasn't sure. I mean, you know, wasn't sure what to expect, but you all have been very appreciative of it and very supportive, and it means a lot. You know, standing back there, Johnny comes up and he says, "You got one more. Don't mess up." I wasn't stressed or nervous before that, but now I'm just terrified. Oh, man, I got one more here. No, I'm not worried about that. It's been a very good visit, friends, and I thank you for it. If you're saved, I want you to think back to the day you were saved. What happened? You know, how you were feeling that day, how you felt before versus how you felt afterwards. And then, whether it was daytime or nighttime, think about what you did that day. And in what sense do you believe you're saved? What was different about that day that convinced you that day I became a Christian and that day I'm set free from sin and I'm on my way to heaven? And as you think about that day, if you're considered a child of God, let me ask you this. When it comes to baptism, were you saved before or after baptism? Now, you don't have to say that out loud, okay? Or you might even want to scribble it down. One of two words. Were you saved before baptism or were you saved after? And just answer that in your head right now and store that to the side. I was saved before baptism. Or I was saved after baptism. Okay? It's up, you know, that's your answer. Now the reason I ask you that is because how you answer that will determine your salvation. Now I know that that's not the way the world tells us that we are saved. But that's what the Word of God says. Whatever answer you just gave is going to determine whether or not you're right in the sight of God. And that's not something I've come up with. That's something I can see when I look into the Word of God. And when I look at Acts 19, when Paul came to Ephesus, he was looking for Christians. Okay? He was looking for people who served the Lord. Now keep in mind, at this point, Christianity is at least 20 years old. Okay? So he's come to this area, and he's trying to find saints. And it says in Acts chapter 19, he came to them in verse 1, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper region, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." Now, let me stop there. Now, you have to keep in mind, at this point in Christianity, God was allowing Christians to receive the Spirit through the laying on of the apostles' hands. And the reason this was happening, this gift of the Holy Spirit, was so that they could perform miracles, receive the Word, confirm the Word. Okay, that was happening. But the only way it could happen was through the laying on of the apostles' hands. And that's what Paul is asking. Okay, when you became a Christian, did you receive the Spirit? Did this thing happen to you? Did you have the gift given to you through the laying on of the apostles' hands? And they're saying, what are you talking about? Holy Spirit? What do you mean by the Holy Spirit? And so he said to them in verse 3, "Into what then were you baptized?" They said, "Into John's baptism." Paul said, "John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied." Now, the men were about 12 in all. So that's pretty easy to digest. We can see that. He's coming, and he's looking for disciples. And the determining factor was whether or not they were baptized and why they were baptized. And he said that since you didn't receive the Holy Spirit, then which baptism did you obey? Into what were you baptized? And they said, "Well, we were baptized into John's baptism." Now, we can know when you look in the New Testament that John was sent as the forerunner before the Messiah. We understand that. That he was announcing that the Messiah is coming. The kingdom is at hand. And that if you believe this, you are to be baptized. So he taught a baptism. First time in the history of God's plan, he had commanded people as a whole to be baptized. Very first time. And so he was known as John the Baptist. Not because of some denominational faith that wasn't even in existence then. He was a baptizer. He was an immerser. And he was going around preparing Jews for the Messiah. Those who believed him were baptized. Well, that's what had happened to these people at Ephesus. They had only known and obeyed that baptism. Paul said, "Now, wait a minute. John was just a forerunner. That he was pointing people to Christ, and that when he came, people were to be saved through him." And so when they heard that, they were baptized in the name of Jesus, when they heard the truth. But notice, friends, here were people who had been baptized, and yet they realized that it did not put them in Christ, and so they learned the truth and obeyed it that day, and they became Christians. And then, of course, they received the laying on of the apostles' hands for the gift of the Holy Spirit, so on and so forth. But the point I want to zero in on is the fact that true remission of sins is in Christ. You have to be in Christ to be saved. Ephesians 1 and verse 7, the forgiveness of sins is in him. And what we see is the only way you can get into Christ is the way the Ephesians did. By being baptized into Christ. That's how you are placed within this fellowship with God through his Son. And so you are baptized into his death. Romans 6 and verse 3. You come in contact with the benefit of his death in baptism. You're buried with him in baptism. Well, they learned that. They saw that. And it was all hinged on how they answered that question. Into what then were you baptized? And how they answered that question determined whether or not they had done what it was needed to be in fellowship with God. That's why I asked you all ago, when you were saved, were you saved before baptism or were you saved after baptism? They had to examine themselves that day. You and I will have to examine ourselves, because why we are baptized makes all the difference in the world. I remember years ago when I was 13, we were attending a church. My mom had obeyed the gospel when I was around 4. But we attended a church that was of this size in Texas. And I remember one Sunday afternoon, would go home with some friends from church. His dad had a farm. And we were out swimming that day. And my friend, same age, said, you know what? I'm going to be baptized tonight. And I'm like, really? He goes, yeah, I've been thinking about it. And I think I'm going to be baptized. Well, we spent the evening together, and then afternoon, I mean, and then on the way to services, driving 30 minutes away, I'm like, you know what? I think I'm going to do it too. And so after services, that night, we both came forward, came to the front pew, and we both decided to be baptized. 13. When I was 19, I was in Florida, and I started hearing this stuff. I started hearing the truth about salvation, the truth about the gospel, the truth about how a person is in Christ. And it dawned on me rather quickly, wait a minute, I never obeyed that. Yeah, I was baptized, but I didn't know this stuff. I didn't believe what we see these people were taught to believe. I did it because my friend did it. I did it because it made my mother very happy. And people around us very happy. But when I realized that I had not done it for the right reasons, that was a whole different day. It was a different day because I was terrified. I was scared to death. I remember trembling, knowing that I was still separated from God. And then I obeyed this baptism, and things were much different then. Why you were baptized makes all the difference. It's not a matter of fact that it's just not a matter of being baptized. These people were baptized, but they weren't baptized for the right reasons. And so I am sharing these thoughts with us because we need to know what baptism is all about. What is baptism? Well, understand that baptism is an immersion. That's what this is. And that's what God had taught John to teach and, of course, the disciples to teach. Now, I will say this, that all the verses I've put up here, to expedite things, I've put the charts in there. So every verse is going to be shown. If you want to turn, that's fine, but I'm going to show them to try and expedite things tonight. But notice that baptism is an immersion. That's what it is. When you obey the nature of the word, you are submerging something. Okay? That's the meaning of the word, to submerge something. Every boat goes in the water. Okay, all boats go in the water, but only one vessel is submerged underwater. Okay, and that's the submarine. We understand that. Well, we've all been in water, but you have to be submerged underwater if you're going to be baptized. That's what the word means. That's why John the Baptizer had to have plenty of water in John chapter 3 and verse 23, because he needed enough water to submerge the hundreds of people who were coming to him. That's what this act is. It's going under. You're burying somebody in water. John 3:23. Or as it says in Acts 8:36 through 39. We talked about this yesterday morning. That the eunuch, realizing the need for baptism, said, well, wait a minute. Here's some water right here. And so they went down into the water and he submerged him. Now you know as well as I do that if this act was that of pouring or that of sprinkling, there was no need for them to get out of the chariot. And there was certainly no need for them to both go down into the water if all Philip was going to do was sprinkle this guy. That's absurd. But they both went down into the water because this man had to be in that body of water with him to get him down under that water. So that's what baptism is by the Bible's definition. It's submerging somebody. It's immersing somebody in water. But again, the distinction is it's an act of faith. Like I said, everybody in here has been underwater. But you have to be underwater for the right reasons. You'll submerge your children when you give them a bath. But just immersing them does not save them. It has to be done for the right reasons. It has to be done by faith. That's why Philip said to the eunuch who wanted to be baptized on the side of the road, Philip said, well, the only contingency is if you believe. He had to believe. Just getting that man under the water was not going to do anything if the eunuch did not have a certain level of faith. And so we have to do this as an act of faith, but notice the point that it's about going under. Well, that's what baptism is. The next question is why? Why should a person be baptized? Well, again, I'm going to let the Bible answer every one of these. And the New Testament teaches that a person is to be baptized for a couple of reasons. One is you're to do this to get inside Christ. This is what the Bible says. In Galatians chapter 3, the Bible says in verses 26 and 27, you are all sons of God through faith in Muhammad. I'm sorry. You are all sons of God through faith in Joseph Smith. Oh, wait. You are all sons of God through faith in the head of the church at Rome. No. You're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. But notice, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now this verse is saying that this is how you get into Christ. Now, you can only be saved through faith in His Son. That's the importance of verse 26. No other man is going to save you. There's only one mediator between God and man. And that's the man Christ Jesus. He's the only person to die for sin and to defeat death. He's the one that we have to have faith in. But if you want to be in Him, this says you have to be baptized into Christ to put on Christ. When you left to come to this building, you got in your car and you drove. You got on the parkway, most likely. You got on some streets and you eventually came to the parking lot. You may have been outside of this building, but you did not get into this building until you came through those doors. You may have been close. You may have been in the parking lot. You may have been standing under the carport, but you didn't get in here until you passed through those doors. You had to come through those doors if you wanted to be in this building. I may believe Jesus is the Son of God. I may be a righteous person repenting of my sins. I may confess my faith in Him. But until I actually am immersed in water to be saved from sin, I am not in Him. I have to pass through those doors. I have to be baptized into Christ. And that's the only way this is going to happen, is what this verse says. The Bible says in Acts chapter 19, again, that's what they were taught. He looked for some disciples, and these were not true disciples. Why? Because they had not obeyed the right baptism. And once they obeyed the right baptism, they were in Christ, and then they received the laying on of the apostles' hands. Because they were in Christ. So the determining factor was baptism. The Bible teaches in Matthew 28 that when Jesus came back from the dead, He told His apostles, you go tell people that I died for sin. You go tell people that I've come back from the dead. But you make disciples of them. How? You make disciples of them through faith and baptism. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I'll say this, that when we're baptized in the name of the Lord, we are being baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because they all approve of what Jesus authorizes. They've all revealed and endorsed the baptism that Jesus commands and that Paul enforced. And so it says, you make disciples by baptizing them, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. So why should you obey this baptism? Well, do you want to be in Christ? If you're not in Christ, do you want to be in Him? Well, these verses show you can do this, and you have to do this through this act. Now, that's not the only reason. The Bible says that the other reason we do this is so that we can be set free from sin. All right, so what did you write down a while ago? Did you write down you were saved before baptism, or did you write down you were saved after baptism? Because here's where you need to pull that out. These verses say that we are saved after baptism. When you go back to Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, the first day the gospel was preached, it says that Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, in order to receive the remission of sins." And there you go. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we see how that happened in Acts 19. But you do this in order to be saved. You do this for the remission of sins. Now, we have seen that people have come to this verse and they say, well, this is saying something else. This verse is saying that you're doing this because you are saved. You are to be baptized to demonstrate your salvation. You're doing this because you have been set free from sin. That's why you're baptized. And yet, when people look at the Greek and they show us what it means, and you can see that phrase, for the remission of sins, used elsewhere in the New Testament, it's shown that this does not mean it's done because of salvation, but in order to receive salvation. And one of the best parallel texts would be when Jesus, the night before he died, instituted the Lord's Supper, took the fruit of the vine, says, "This is the cup of the new covenant." And what does he say? "For this is my blood," Matthew 26, 28, "this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Before he died, he hadn't even died yet. But this cup is shed for, this blood is shed for many for the remission of sins. So, again, apply that reasoning to this text, the same phrase. Did Jesus die because man was already saved? Or did he die in order to save man from sin? And I think we can see the truth on that. And so the same answer would be given to why a person is baptized. It's in order to be set free from sin. Well, then you consider who. Who should be baptized? That's a big question. And there's a difference of opinion on this. We see in the Bible that there is a difference on who is to be baptized, that it is to be people who believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Go into all the world and preach that gospel, right? He who believes that gospel and is baptized shall be saved. That's what Mark says. Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. That's why Philip said to the eunuch, "Yeah, we can stop the chariot and we can go out and baptize you, but do you believe? You have to believe." I know of people, and you may have done it yourself as a child, but there are people who will sprinkle children. I mean, you go back to this picture here. I mean, there's a whole lot of things wrong with this picture. I mean, first of all, that's not New Testament baptism. They're not going down into the water and they're not submerging, immersing this child. Another reason this is faulty is because God teaches us that we're not born in sin. There's nothing for us to be redeemed from as an infant. But then, of course, this is completely wrong because that child doesn't even know who Jesus is, let alone a believer in him. So that's a big strike. An infant cannot believe. And so that's a big strike. And yet faith is essential. When Philip was preaching the gospel in Acts chapter 8 and verse 12, it says that he preached things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. Listen, we can go down the street and just start pulling people off the street and dunking them all day long. We can do that. But what good will that do if they don't believe? You have to believe in order for this immersion to count. You have to have faith in Jesus in order for it to be an act of obedience to him, to enter his body and be set free from sin. And that's why it says both men and women were baptized when Philip taught it. And that's the demographic we're looking for. That's the group of people we're looking for. People who can believe and people who can repent. People who need to repent. A child has nothing to repent of. But if you reach the age of accountability, you've got stuff to repent of. There are things you need to be set free from, and that's what the gospel is all about. That's why Peter said, it's not just baptism. You've got to repent of those sins and be immersed. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, it says this, repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. And so that's the person that Jesus wants to obey this baptism. And then I'll say this, when should we do this? You can go online and you can see that there are different groups that have a different approach to this. And you can actually register online as to when you want to be baptized. Which again, go back to that first question, when were you saved? And if you were saved before baptism, then yeah, I'll schedule a baptism later on because I don't need it. I'm already saved. And that's the thinking. But when you go back to the New Testament, you see that people were baptized as soon as they learned it. Or at least I'll say this, as soon as they learned it and wanted to be set free from sin, that's when they did this. When you go to Acts chapter 8, I tell you what, I brought water up here every sermon except this one. And I'm dying up here. Thank you. I appreciate it. But when you look at Acts 8, it says that the same day that the eunuch had learned this truth, he wanted to obey it. He was in the chariot being taught Jesus. And then he saw the water and he wanted to be saved. This is not something that you need weeks and weeks and weeks to understand. You can hear these truths and in one day, in 1 hour, that's what happened in Acts chapter 16, that the jailer, the very same hour that he learned all this, he obeyed it. Acts 16 and verse 33. I have seen people do this. I have seen it. I taught this lesson 1.5 years ago in Indiana. The very first time this guy had ever heard anything like this, and he was in his 70s. The very first service he was there, and he had ever heard anything like this in his life, after services that day, I just met him. He said, can I do that? Can I be baptized today? Is it possible? And of course, we encouraged him that, yeah, it's very much possible. Thank you, brother. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay, I can go another hour now, so you just might want to sit back. I'm all good now. Give me another one, Alan. No. One more. You just had one more. All right. But no, he had heard it. He had heard it that day, that morning. And that after that service, he obeyed it. He obeyed it. You might think, well, yeah, but he's gone, right? No. That guy is still faithful. He's still dedicated. Now, he's had some health issues that have limited him. In fact, his very first stay in the hospital after that, which was some period later, he had something major going on and he could not leave. He wasn't released and he was begging the doctors to release him just so he could go to service and he'll come back. They said, look, you can't leave. You're in no condition. But that's how dedicated he is to the Lord. But my point is this, that right there, this may be the first time you're hearing this and you can obey this in the same hour of learning it. It's possible. If you believe this and understand this, that's when you're to do it. The answer is you are to do this as soon as you want to be set free from sin. And I can assure you, if you fully realize that you are separated from God and that if he does come back tonight, you know that you're condemned because of those sins, you should be trembling. And you should be thinking about obeying this tonight. You should. I did. I was scared to death. It was a Wednesday night after services. I went back to my room. I fell to my knees crying and praying, knowing I had not done this. Oh, I was dunked years ago. People were happy, but I had no clue as to what I was doing. 19, I had it figured out at least as best as I could at that point. And that night, we got it taken care of in a swimming pool. but we got it taken care of. You can do this tonight. Not only can you do it, I'll say this. This might be your last chance to do it. That's what you and I have to understand. He is going to come as a thief in the night. Well, whose house right now is being robbed? Who knows? Who planned on their house being robbed tonight? Did the thief call you? Of course not, right? It's unexpected is the point. When is God coming back? It's unexpected. He may come back. And I'm not just saying that just to scare you. I'm trying to paint reality. He may come back tonight. And if you have not done this, guess what? You're not in Christ. And that's very serious. And it's something to consider, especially if you love Him and you love God and you want to be right with Him. Well, He wants you to be right with Him. But you've got to get into the ark, okay? Who was saved from the flood? It's the people who were in the ark. Millions of people in the world, only 8 survived that flood. Why? Because they were in the ark. Billions of people in the world today, who's going to be saved? It's the people who are in the ark. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21, there is an antitype which now saves us. Baptism. Not saves us, but now saves us. And that's very important. There are reasons why people are baptized. And again, I'm not indicting anybody. I mean, I was ignorant too. We all do this for various reasons. Some do it to be part of a crowd. Some do it to join a denomination. Some do it to satisfy family. There are some people who are baptized to get married, to keep people off their back or give them permission to enter the family. That happens. And it won't save. If you do this for any other reason than to enter Christ, it won't save. The Bible says that Jesus wants us to be baptized to wash away our sins. Acts 22:16. To be saved from sin. Mark 16:16. For the remission of sins. Acts 2:38. To enter the body of Christ. Romans 6:3. Galatians 3:27. To demonstrate our faith in the Lord. If you believe, you may. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And they stopped that chariot. And they went down and he immersed him. Why? Because he believed. You can do that tonight. You can do it. If you're ready to be right with God. And that's what we are pleading with you to do. Now, even though you've heard this truth, there will be some people who hear this lesson and they still won't do it. Sometimes people will say, well, I am already saved. Okay? That I was already baptized. And it doesn't matter. I mean, I was baptized back when I was 6 or back when I was 8 or back when I was at camp one year. I've already been baptized. So I've already taken care of that. Well, again, why you were baptized makes all the difference in the world. That's what Acts 19 is showing. It's not enough to be immersed. Those people in Ephesus were immersed, but they had to be immersed into Christ to be saved. Some people say, well, I've already been saved by faith. But I was saved before baptism, was their answer. They'll say that I'm saved by grace through faith. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. Then turn to Ephesians to reach that conclusion. I'm saved by grace through faith, not of works. Baptism is a work. I'm saved by grace and faith, not of works. And so I'm saved by grace and faith, not of baptism. I am saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ, not of any works. Ephesians 2 says that in verses 8 and 9. You know the fallacy of that? The big, big fallacy of that? Paul was writing to the Ephesians. Were the Ephesians baptized? Hello? We started our sermon with Acts 19. Those 12 people who were baptized happened to be located where? In Ephesus. These were people who were baptized in the baptism of John, but when they learned the truth that day, when they learned it, they were baptized in the name of the Lord. And yet Paul was able to tell them years later, you were saved by grace through faith, not of works. You were saved by grace through faith in God's will, not in your will. Your will had you saved under John's baptism or the works of the law or whatever. God's will had you saved through the baptism of Christ. That's what put you in Him. And that happened not because you're just some great person. You did that because of God's mercy and because of your faith in God's mercy is the point, Paul. So All right, you can have that argument, but please don't go to Ephesians. That's the last place you want to run to because of the truth found there. Well, then some will say, well, I was baptized into a denomination. That's what my parents did. That's what my grandparents did. Are you saying all of them are wrong? That's what we did as a family. Well, I can just tell you what the Bible says. And there is nothing said in the New Testament about doing this to be baptized into a denomination. And if so, I encourage you to prove that with the Scriptures. And so, friends, I hope we can see that why we do this makes all the difference in the world. You see what I'm saying? When I heard stuff like this, I realized, whoa, wait a minute, I didn't do that. I want to do that, but I didn't do that. And then I did it, and I'm grateful for it. Now, here's what I understand. Our level of baptism, our knowledge is going to increase over time, okay? I understand that. But you can know enough. You can know enough from even this sermon to know whether or not you've done this for the right reasons. And you can do it tonight. When I preached in Owensboro, we were there over 8 years. Went to go see an elderly man who was the father of a member there at church. He was 93. He was in poor health, on oxygen, confined to home, to his apartment. But he was concerned. So we got together, we visited, and I showed him these things. I showed him Romans 6, the salvation in Christ, being immersed in him, all these beautiful things we looked at. And I asked him what he thought about it. And he said, I want to be baptized. I said, that's great. He said, but the problem is, I can't leave this apartment because of my health. You know, I'm on this oxygen, and I can't be off of it very long. And there was no way of getting him to the building to immerse him. What do you do? Well, I know that there are people in the world that will say, well, just forget it. You can't do it. Don't worry about it. Or just sprinkle some. Take care of it that way. I couldn't do that. I can't find that in the Scriptures. Well, I said, this is what God wants you to do. His son-in-law came over, and we were trying to contemplate what to do. And fortunately, this man was a smaller man, and so it was concluded, well, why don't we fill up the bathtub? He's small enough. Get him in the bathtub and immerse him and do it that way. And as far as I know, that's okay, because it was enough water to immerse him. So we took it off, the oxygen. He went down into the water. We immersed him, came back up. He died 3 months later. That's cutting it pretty close. I'm sure there are those who cut it closer than that, but that's cutting it pretty close. But he learned it in one night at the age of 93. You can do this. You can do this. If you haven't done this, you should do this. You're surrounded by a lot of people who will support you and love you and pray for you. And if you're ready to do this, I'm saying come to Jesus. Don't come to me. Come to Jesus to be baptized into him. I'll be here to greet you. I'll look for you. The elders will immerse you into Christ tonight. But come to him. Let tonight be the night that you start all over in your relationship with God. And you can do that because guess what? This is done for the remission of sins, to wash away your sins. And so we hope you will do that if you have not. If you believe in Jesus as the Son of God, you're ready to make that confession and turn away from every sin you know of. And you can let go of that. We'll help you let go of it. You can let go of sin. Well, don't let this keep you from entering Christ. You can be saved, but it has to be the different answer. It has to be after baptism. And so we hope you do that tonight. It could be you've done that but need to make things right with God in a public way. God's mercy is still available to us as sinners, as his people, if we are humble enough to repent, pray, and confess for those sins. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, please come to him. I'll be looking for you as we stand and sing.